Alrighty, on the phone right now is author Rebecca Mackay. She's got a great new book out now called The Great Believers, which is in stores now from Viking. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. I love your book.
Thank you so much.
And everybody else seems to love it, too. And I got to tell you, I pick up my Entertainment Weekly this week, and I flip to the book section. What do I see? The Great Believers,
yeah,
a big piece on you.
They gave me a nice spread there, too, which I was really, really grateful for.
And usually I don't luck out like that, because usually I interview the author and then the piece comes out in like Entertainment Weekly or People. So,
right.
I lucked out. I'm like, oh, I'm right. Talking to her on Thursday. Great. It's a great. This book.
Yeah, perfect.
And look, some early reviews of the book. Well, not, it's already out, so, but reviews. Entertainment Weekly, a tearjerker. Chicago Book of Reviews, a dazzling new novel of friendship and redemption in the face of tragedy and loss set in 1980 Chicago and contemporary Paris. Condé Nast, a poignant historical journey through a virus's outbreak and legacy. Harper's Bazaar, the latest novel from the stunning versatile Mackay. And it just goes on and on. Chicago Review of Books, Vulture, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's great, and I know we don't have a lot of time because you're heading out to do book signings. I'm looking at your Twitter page right now, Rebecca Mackay.
Yeah, it's
like
a busy week.
Not just a busy week, a busy next few months.
No kidding, yeah.
You are all over the place.
I am, you know, which is fun. I actually, you know, there are plenty of people who, they're really in it for the introvert part, and they're in it for sitting alone in the room with the book, you know, and I do love that. But I'm actually genuinely an extrovert. So I really love getting out on the road. I love doing interviews. I love doing events. I love meeting people. So I'm actually kind of, you know, and you save it all up. It's been a few years, you know, since the last one. So you just kind of go in this giant sprint into the wind. And it's actually really fun.
Now, this book, The Great Believers, is set starting in the early 80s with a character named Yale Tishman. And it's two different timelines, and then 30 years later we're with Fiona in Paris as she's tracking down her estranged daughter who's disappeared in a cult. But their lives do interchange over the years, and we do see what's happening from the time of the beginning of the book up until now with Fiona in Paris. And it's about the AIDS epidemic in Chicago. Well, I mean, it was all over the country, but it was hitting big time in Chicago over in is it still called Boys Town?
It still is, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, I lived over on the north side by Wrigley for like a year and a half, so I did manage to get to one gay pride parade, and it's crazy out there.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it's interesting. A lot of that community has moved north in terms of where they actually live, but the nightlife is still there, and it's really still the epicenter historically and in terms of events like Pride is still in Boys Town. Yeah.
And are you a north sider or a south sider?
I'm a North Sider.
Okay.
Which, you know, I think that probably comes through in what I'm, you know, in the areas I'm writing about. But, Cubs in the North Side.
For people who don't know, in Chicago, you can either be a North Sider or a South Sider, but you can't be both.
Yeah, no, and it's very baseball related.
Well, let's talk about the book. Yale is the director of an art gallery in Chicago, about to pull off an amazing coup, bringing in a collection of 1920 paintings as a gift to the gallery. But he soon finds people around him, his friends, people he knows, they're dying because AIDS is just growing. And at that time, people are even afraid to get tested because they don't believe the tests. So
right, and this is, you know, yeah, I'm starting the narrative in 1985, which is the year the test came out, and there was a lot of controversy around it. Do you even believe the results? Do you want the results? And then could the results be co-opted in some way? Could they be subpoenaed? Could they be used against you? So it was that was one of the things that I hadn't really known going in. You know, I certainly had been paying attention for a long time, but really didn't understand the intricacies of that issue in that particular year. You can look back and be like, yeah, of course everyone should have gotten tested. At the time, it was not so clear.
And Yale's in a committed relationship with a guy that's very jealous and possessive, is always accusing him of cheating on him, even though he hasn't. And then the years go by, and we see what happens to Yale and his friends and his relationship, and no spoilers, so you just have, you know, kind of got to go along with their story, and 30 years later, we're with Fiona. The book travels back and forth you know, between chapters. Fiona's tracking down her daughter who's missing in a cult. She still finds herself grappling with the way AIDS has affected her life with her, in her relationship with her daughter. The stories intertwine. We see what happens to all the characters over the years. And by the time we get towards the end with Fiona, we do learn what has happened over the years with all these characters. And it really is an emotional journey because I really like Yale. And you get... your writing is so good that you get attached to these characters, and when things happen to them or somebody dies, you kind of feel like they're your friend and you lost them too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt that way when I was writing. It made it really hard to kind of play the god of, you know, the cruel random god of this universe and make things happen to people. You kind of, you know, you get really attached to them and you want to make it turn out fine for everyone, which of course would not be true to what actually, you know, to the actual story of what happened in there in the 80s. Yeah, they, you know, they become incredibly three-dimensional, you know, and you know, when you read it, it's certainly, they're coming to you fully formed. When you write, they're not fully formed yet, but you're spending 4 years with them, you know, it's a long time.
And what was your research like for this? Because I don't know if you grew up in the 80s or if you have gay friends or what, you know,
right.
What kind of research
both,
did you do?
Both, but I was really a kid in the 80s. So, you know, my parents were not taking me bar hopping or anything,
yeah.
Unfortunately. I really needed to do a lot of research. And there's not that much out there in terms of nonfiction in book form or in film form about Chicago in the AIDS crisis. Everything's New York or San Francisco, and I understand why. But, you know, there needs to be more out there. There needs to be more nonfiction out there, which is not what I've written. But so because of that, I did a lot of primary source research. I was looking at a lot of the gay weekly newspapers from the 80s, holed up in the Harold Washington Library downtown, was reading back issues of the Windy City Times. I also did a ton of in-person interviews with survivors, doctors, nurses, activists, lawyers, historians, journalists, everyone who would talk to me. And, you know, that was really, I mean, I was so grateful for everyone's time, for their energy, their support of the project. It was just incredible. And you know, it ended up being not just factual research, but emotional research as well, psychological research. It was a blessing in disguise, basically. I was frustrated that there wasn't more out there, but I was thrilled that it forced me out from behind my desk to do this legwork, which really benefited the project in the end.
Yeah, and even, you know, 30-plus years later, I mean, AIDS is still around, but you don't hear much about it now because of the drugs and the way that they're able to treat it. But when you look back over the years, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's still very much, I mean, 1 million people died last year of AIDS. 1 million. You know, it's happening in Africa, so we're not as aware here. We're not as tuned in, and I think racism comes into it and a lot of other things. But, you know, there are also 1.1 million Americans living with HIV still. And, you know, Trump goes and fires the remaining members of the HIV/AIDS Advisory Council in December, which is, you know, galling. But, you know, it is still, you know, it's not in the nightly news anymore, but it's still very much an issue.
Yeah, The Great Believers is in stores now, again, from Viking. And before I let you go, I got to tell you, I love, love, love the cover of this book. The colors, the big black bold letters.
That's cool. I can say I love it too because I can't take any credit for it. I can just say I love it too, right?
Did they, when they sent this to you, were you like, that's it? That's what I want? I like it? Or do you have any say in the cover?
We had some back and forth. There were some, there were a few of them at the beginning that, you know, weren't quite in keeping with what was in the book because the art department doesn't necessarily have time to read, you know, the entire thing. And so they're kind of going with, you know, a concept. And then it's, you know, it's up to me to figure out whether, you know, whether that worked, to what extent it worked. But I love what we ultimately came up with.
And are you working on another novel yet, or are you just concentrating on the release of this
one? Yeah, but I'm not talking about it,
unfortunately.
Okay. Going to have to be coy there. Sorry about that.
No, I don't blame you. Authors shouldn't do that. A lot of authors get jinxed on it. So
It's totally true, yeah.
And my last question is, this really has gotten a lot of great publicity. Have you heard anything like any interest from Hollywood or TV at all yet?
Hey, not yet, but you know, they're welcome to come calling.
I think this would make a great movie or a great, like, you know, miniseries or something on HBO.
I would actually rather see, something that would really support that kind of that long form of storytelling, which, you know, this is a saga.
Yeah. Well, people can pick it up now in stores. I appreciate the time today, Rebecca Mackay. I look forward to talking to you next time for your next book whenever it comes out. And people can follow you.
Thank you.
You're welcome at RebeccaMackay.com, at Twitter/RebeccaMackay, and at Facebook, Rebecca Mackay. So you're very easy to find on all social media sites.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.